Hello and welcome to our third lesson in 2 Timothy. As we've mentioned before, chapter 1 tells us what we need to think, number 2, what we need to be, number 3, what we need to know, and chapter 4, what we need to do. Now we come to verse 13 today of chapter 1. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, if we're going to have sound doctrine, sound words, we're going to have to go by the book. And so he said, hold fast. That phrase is in the Bible a few times. Job said, "My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go." He was in a pile of ashes, scraping the boils and some cancers that he had on his body. His wife is telling him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He had nobody. He had three friends who he could rather not have any than have them. He was in a rough situation, but he said, "I hold fast, and I will not let my righteousness go." Jeremiah 8:5 talks about them holding fast to deceit, and they refused to return. And they thought Jeremiah was out of his mind. That is, God's people thought he was crazy, and they threw him in a slime pit. Hold fast. We get to the New Testament, and we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." Hebrews 10, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." There's not much holding fast going on these days when it comes to sound doctrine. There is a lot of wavering. Revelation 2:25, he said, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." And then in chapter 3, he said, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee." He's talking to the church there. Actually, he's talking to the pastor there. All of those seven letters were addressed to the pastor, and he's saying, you need to repent, or you're going to be dealing with me. Now, in this square, we're dealing with local church situations, and I put this little house here, that's kind of house they had back there 2,000 years ago, because they were meeting in houses. At least seven times in the New Testament, it talks about the church in their house. They didn't have a big cathedral of some kind. They were dying for what they believed back then, and the people who did believe were back then holding fast. But as time went on, Paul said to young Timothy, the pastor, you better hold fast. Now, from when that church started in Ephesus there in Acts chapter 19, till we get to the book of Revelation, where he said, you've left your first love, he said, I have somewhat against thee, and it was pretty well shot in only 40 years. Somebody didn't hold fast. We are living in an age when false doctrine is flooding into our churches. By our churches, I mean fundamental, independent, Baptist churches. That's the group I've been affiliated with for the last 100 years, it seems. We're living in an age when false doctrine is flooding into what used to be fundamental, independent, Baptist churches. They still go by that title, like the evangelicals did back when we had to get out of that mess, but not so much fundamentalism today. False doctrine, Proverbs 14 says, the simple believe every word. The simple, referring to young Christians who are uneducated in the things of the Scriptures. Some people are young Christians. They've been Christians for all their lives, and they're uneducated in the things of the Scriptures because they don't do what the Bible says to do, and that is to search the Scriptures daily to see if these things be so. I've said 100 times, I think, in the last 10 years, maybe more. Don't believe anything I say until you get your Bible out, search the Scriptures, and see if these things be so. If they're going to do that for Paul the Apostle, and he commended them, you dead better sure do it with me, and every other preacher that's preaching. And every preacher, when we go to some kind of a hepped-up Bible meeting where they're telling us what to do and how to do it, and very little of that is based on the Word of God, what we need to do is get into the Word of God and see what it says. Search the Scriptures and see if these things be so. I used to just believe it because one of my heroes said it. Not anymore. Paul referred to these words as strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Surmisings is to suppose that something is true without having any evidence to confirm it. And that's why it is so necessary to get into the Word of God, let the Word of God get into us, and see if these things be so. The destructive words that Paul was talking about to young Timothy, that pastor at Ephesus, had to be put down by sound words of truth. So he said in verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He said, it has been committed unto thee, Pastor. You better keep it. Keep it. Now to keep is to continue or cause to continue in a specified condition, position, or course. Now, our specifications come from the Holy Spirit. And so, we have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and we have the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in total harmony. So when it comes to all of the different issues, when it comes to what kind of music we should listen to, what does the Bible say about separation, what does the Bible say about repentance, what does the Bible say about tithing, what does the Bible say about any subject at all of these issues, what we need to do is what Jude said to do in that age of apostasy. He said there's a lot of apostasy around, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what he's talking about. Taking the Bible, asking the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth like Jesus promised he would. But don't do that if you're not ready to be corrected. Sometimes we think we got it all right when we haven't got anything right. What we need to do is determine to let the Holy Spirit change us if we need to be changed. What about the issue of music? Do you really want to know what the Holy Spirit says, or do you want to play that junk music? Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, this thing about praying, we say prayer changes things. Prayer changes me. What we need to do is let the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, work on us and change us if we need to be changed. However, the Bible says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Prayer will change you if you need to be changed, if that prayer is honest and sincere, and will let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. So he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The context of the good thing mentioned here has to do with the pastor holding on to sound doctrine and being a pattern for others to follow. Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with divers or many and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established. Then he said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygius and Hermogenes. Now, if you're going to turn, it means that we make a change of direction. That's turning. These guys were once with Paul, and they turned away from him. All of them that used to be with him began to turn away from him one after another. We said before, the truth is expensive. Now, we can turn away because we simply make a decision to turn away, or we can turn away because we're deceived, like the Bible talks about those in the book of Jude that followed the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam sounded like a solid fundamentalist. He was a hypocrite. Now, we've all seen the little cartoon of the frogs. A frog can come along and apparently he can jump into some boiling hot water and his reflexes are so fast he can get out before he gets hurt very much. But if you give him some cool water, oh, this feels good. He'll swim around in that cool water. If you sneak up and build a fire underneath him, then we can find out that he will gradually change. And so we sit in this hot water, again, it's nice and warm. This is nice. What we need to do is get another attendance program together so we can get the crowd up. Yep, that's what we need to do. Let's just keep getting the crowd up. Well, I have a little diagram here that shows how the devil works. We start off when we have this with the stand. We take in line with the Bible. Our standards, we're going to line up with the scriptures. The world also has standards, and we say, yeah, we are going to be separate from those standards. We're not going to be the world. They're over there. We're over here. We have our own standards. But the world continues to get worse, and the standards are getting worse by the hour in this world. Yeah, well, we're going to be separate. We're not going to be in the world's standards. But what happens is instead of staying where we should have stayed, we move on down here, and the first thing you know, we don't have scriptural standards anymore. We have the standards that we were preaching against 15 years ago. And that is exactly what is happening today. Well, Paul ends this chapter by saying, "The Lord give mercy unto Onesimus, for he oft refreshed me. It was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well." And Timothy did know all about that. He's only mentioned one more time, and that is in the last phrase of the written anything that's written by Paul the Apostle. He mentions him again and talks about what a good friend he was to him. What a wonderful thing it is. If you take a stand like Paul the Apostle did, God will see to it that someone will stand with you when most of them are going some other direction. His name means bringing profit, and he certainly was a prophet to Paul the Apostle. Well, that's it for today. We'll continue in lesson number 4. Be sure to be with us for our next session in the book of 2 Timothy.